how things are framed are really manipulative.
Yes.
Because they make women feel like, if I'm against, you know, if I'm against having girls all play on the same sports, if I'm against having a boy play on a girl's sports, then I must be anti-trans or anti,
yeah.
I want these kids to be bullied. No, things have nothing to do with each other. We are standing up for the safety and the privacy of girls, period.
Period.
Just for a healthy environment in sports for
yes.
women. Think about all the benefits that sports brings. And
yeah.
I have 5 kids, 3 of them are girls, and they've all played
yep.
competitive sports.
Same
and one,
here.
One is in college
yep.
playing volleyball at the Naval Academy right now.
Wow.
And so they are competitive, and if they had to play against a boy on their volleyball teams, they would probably not have gotten those scholarships.
No.
And they could have gotten seriously injured,
right.
which has happened.
Yes, I've seen those videos.
Yeah.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to TLM Nation. I am excited for this conversation, which is something I seem to say a lot these days because I've had some really great people in here. So I've got Kim Miller in here. I'm going to let her talk a little bit about what she does and introduce her. But in the meantime, you guys know what to do after we're done. Leave us a review, definitely 5 stars, and we will get everything that you need to know and how to contact Kim in the show notes afterwards. But I will let Kim take it away. Tell me exactly like what you do, and then we'll dive into some of the little bullet points that we talked about.
Okay, perfect. Thanks so much for having me on,
you
Tracy.
Bet.
I love it. You and I have gotten to know each other through a Bible study,
yes.
and it's just been amazing. And mostly women in there, and I think all of them are women, actually. But
yes. And we know what women are.
And we do. We are very familiar with women. And I ended up getting involved and started this group about 3 years ago now.
Has it been 3 years?
It's been 3 years.
Wow.
And through a mutual friend of ours, Robin, and she got us. I was introduced to her, and then she connected me to a bunch of other women.
So cool.
We ended up, this was all right in the 2020 summer where everything was crazy and all of culture was blowing up. And so
yes.
we kind of all looked at each other and went, okay, what do we do? You know,
yeah.
why are we here? How do we get sanity back? And let's hold on to what's true and help people see clearly, because it seemed like everybody had kind of lost their mind.
Yeah.
And
true statement.
It really.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the issues were being blown out to where people weren't thinking about it, they were just reacting. Whether it was race-related or the COVID-related things, people weren't asking questions as much as they were just reacting.
Right.
And so this group of women who were all, I mean, sad to say, most of my girlfriends over the years have not been interested in understanding the issues deep down,
right.
rational thinking. They are more emotion-based, which I know is a great gift we women have. We're very attuned. But our strength in emotions can also be our downfall if
yes.
we let it go too far. And most of my friends were kind of in that area. And this, all of a sudden, I was introduced to this group of very smart, thinking, rational women who wanted to get things done. So
yeah.
we started Arizona Women of Action. And it just came from, let's figure out what's happening in the culture and in the political realm so that we start to get a seat at the table as just a voice, you know,
right.
how people, we were meant to be a government by the people for the people. And so what does that look like? And we had not been engaged civically before other than,
true.
You know, we have a lot of women who are professionals and business owners, and we'd maybe follow a school board meeting once in a while, but nothing
right.
very, very much. And
yeah,
so,
the school board slid underneath most people's radars.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it did.
And so we found out, how do you even learn to get on a school board or go to a school board meeting? And what does it mean to make a public comment? And how do I make sure my voice is heard? So we started just doing a little research. We shared it out there, and we started a little email saying, what could you do this week? What's happening in Arizona? And we shared that, and more people kept saying, I want to get this email.
So good.
So what do I do? Like, that was always the big thing we'd hear all the time. I'm so frustrated, but what can I do about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well, people don't believe that their voice matters, and they don't believe that one person can make a difference. I hear that all the time. I'm like, just
yeah.
get involved. Well, what does that look like? It basically looks like getting out of your own way.
Exactly.
Number one. You know, number two, it's like you have to ask questions.
Yes.
You have to.
You have to ask good questions and be willing to not just push in to change people's minds right away, but find out what's true. So many people don't ask the questions, so they don't know how to defend what they believe
right.
because they're we're tricked into thinking that we have to know everything and have the right sound bites and,
right.
you know,
you
do
have to
that.
Be rehearsed.
And you have to be rehearsed.
Yeah.
And so then people are silenced. We self-censor. Mm-hmm. And we have to just take the time to understand a little bit. And then if we don't know, then be honest about it, because 99.9% of people don't know either.
No.
And if you just ask them, they might find out that they really don't know the whole story too. But if you come to it with a spirit of just let's find the truth together, and you care about them, you respect them, you're not trying to do the gotcha kind of stuff.
Yeah, which is huge.
Yeah, and yeah. So then people soften and then we can get somewhere. So anyway, Arizona Women of Action started out as 8 women on a text chain, and now it's about 18,000.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
seriously,
we have 18,000 people getting our social media. Mainly, social media is where it really blew up on
right.
Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, which now
wow.
is X. But yeah, and then we have about 3,000 email subscribers who are really active, and they have a
yeah.
huge open rate, and so people are really they want to know.
Yeah,
and we talk. Our main focus is positive, effective action on your schedule, because women are busy.
Yes,
and we can't waste time. But
right.
we want to know, what do you care about, and the issues that we cover. Are human trafficking. We have a team, Stop Trafficking. We have a pro-life aspect called our Life in Action. Education, of course, Education in Action. Communities and prayer in action. So there's something for most anything that women care
right,
about
right.
and they want to make a difference in. But really, we just provide, we empower women to have the tools they need to push back against this destructive force that's attacking their families and communities.
No, and I think that's the biggest thing, because moms were the first ones to jump in, from what I could tell in
yeah.
this, in whenever we talk about 2020 and kind of the chaos and the crazy, I think moms were the first ones to kind of, because it was affecting their kids.
Yeah.
And even though dads knew, a lot of times they were busy with whatever's happening at work. And so you look at it, I think the part with the mom part, I think is really important, because we are driven very differently.
Yeah.
And I think that you do have a different connection to you, when you say civics, you have a different connection to that. And we've been so complacent for so long
mm-hmm.
because we're just worried about dinner and worried about the school
sure.
the grades and what we perceive the school is telling us that is legitimate. We're not looking at actually what's going on. I had a conversation earlier this morning with a client, and she said her and her husband were talking about where to put their kids in school, and they live in a different part of the country. And her husband was like, well, but this seems to be this is one of the best schools. And I'm like, but measured by what? That was always my question. What are you
mm-hmm.
measuring that by?
Mm-hmm.
And so for him, it was really like, well, it's safe. It's in a good area. It's this, it's that. It doesn't have all the riffraff. And I'm like, but what about emotional and mental safety and ideologies that are being pushed on your kids, which you know nothing about because you're looking at the outside?
Right, right, right.
So which brings me to the question. So you guys are working on some stuff with the girls, with the sports. So
yes.
Catch us up on that.
Yeah, so we got involved with the Save Women's Sports Act. We're defending that, trying to. That was passed in Arizona. I don't know if most of your viewers are from Arizona, but that was passed last year in 2022. And immediately there were a couple law firms from back east who got involved and got some plaintiffs who are biological males who want to play on girls' sports teams. And they're...
That's my first question.
Yes, I
Why
know,
would you want to... I mean,
know.
If you were the last dude picked for dodgeball and it was just all girls, you were just like going, something's wrong with me, right?
Right. I know, but that's what's also at the heart of this. And you know how the craziness and
yeah.
how things are framed are really manipulative.
Yes.
Because they make women feel like, if I'm against having... girls all play on the same sports. If I'm against having a boy play on a girl's sports, then I must be anti-trans or anti.
Yeah.
I want these kids to be bullied. No, those things have nothing to do with each other. We are standing up for the safety and the privacy of girls. Period.
Period.
Just for a healthy environment in sports for
yes.
women. Think about all the benefits that sports brings. And
yeah.
I have 5 kids, 3 of them are girls, and they've all played
yep.
competitive sports.
Same
and one,
here.
One is in college
yep.
playing volleyball at the Naval Academy right now.
Wow.
And so they are competitive. And if they had to play against a boy on their volleyball teams, they would probably not have gotten those scholarships.
No.
And they could have gotten seriously injured.
Injured, right.
Which has happened.
Yes, I've seen those videos.
Yeah. And yeah. So it's a very serious thing. And the other thing is that sports brings such a great experience of, intensity and disappointment and grit and drive.
Resiliency, all of it.
Leadership. Think about that. All of the leadership that goes into being on a team and, mm-hmm. Getting people pumped up and positive. All of those benefits go away for women if our sports are not protected. And that's the whole reason that Title IX came in. It was to protect women and give them the benefits of their sports. And before Title IX happened in, 73, I think, there were very few women's sports leagues at all in high school or college. And now there are, and we almost take it for granted, and now this is being threatened. So these boys, they are saying that because they are prepubescent or that one of them is 15, actually 16 now, but he's been on gender hormones, cross-sex hormones since he was, I think, 11 or something. So he's saying he has not developed the masculine tendencies because he's been on that, which that's a whole other subject. and then the other boy is, I think, 11 or 12 and has not started puberty. But that's they're saying because they don't have advantages. Well, as if our hormones alone are the only thing different. I mean, males have bigger hearts. They have bigger
structure,
lungs. Yep. They have different muscle mass.
Bone structure, all of it.
Bone structure. Centers of gravity are different. You cannot change that.
No.
And they know it. And the data that they're proposing that shows that somehow there's an equal playing field is completely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's completely inaccurate, to be honest.
Totally inaccurate.
I mean, even if you take away the fact that it is ridiculous, it's completely inaccurate if you want to go to the logical side of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that I think is so interesting with this, is that we've taken all logic and critical thinking out of the conversation.
Right.
Emotion. It's all emotions. And it's like, did you ever think you'd be having this conversation?
No. So I want to catch you up on that. Because there is, even right now, I was just talking with some people in the Scottsdale school board, some board members, about a bathroom policy that is, they're proposing, one of the first that I know of, or she knows of, one of the first bathroom policies to be established in a school district, district level.
Right.
That would just define, in this sense, how does someone get an accommodation to use a bathroom if they don't want to use the male bathroom for boys and the obvious. And even understanding that, there apparently hasn't been a specific policy that defines what a girl's bathroom is for girls and what is a girl. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is.
Upside down.
It is.
It's Orwellian. And so anyway, they're just trying to come up with a rational policy so that there's a system so parents... kids can apply. Here's why I don't want. And many kids do have a reason. Maybe they've had past trauma in their life and they really don't want to use a multi-stall bathroom. They want to have an individual one. That's fine. There's different reasons. But the gender issue is one of those issues that we need to kind of, it's reality. It's there. So we need to figure out how do we help those kids. And that's the thing. As much as I want to defend girls and their sports, my heart goes out to these kids who are confused and just so often.
It's real for them.
It's very real for them. Their feelings are real, but there's a whole other question. Why have the instances of gender dysphoria just exploded?
Exactly.
And that is a social contagion, as I know you know.
Yes.
And that's because adults are pushing this.
Exactly. Social contagion and social engineering.
Yes.
I think it's both. I think that. It's like if you have a certain way of doing things in your home, right? Like you're disciplined, all your kids play sports, you do this, your children grow up with those ideals.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at some of these other homes that they're like, okay, well, would the child actually be trans or gay if they didn't have that specific parent or
exactly.
that specific push of a conversation?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think it's both. The social contagion, absolutely, because we look at it. I think it was like what was her name? Abigail?
Schreier.
Yeah. And she took a beating on that.
Damage.
Yeah, she took a beating on that book. But the thing is that you have to address it, because we've had social contagions in the past that have been culturally pushed, which were bulimia, anorexia. I mean, all these kinds of conversations. And so, but you even go back to the sexual revolution, which is what these kids are being raised by the parents that were during those times.
Exactly.
So that's been desensitized. So that's why it's a generational conversation.
Yeah.
And it's not just some 10-year-old that's whining about, I want to be this when I'm actually that. It goes so much deeper than that. Mm-hmm. And the conversations, I feel like, are, you're chasing your tail if you can't get someone that has a critical thinking process. Mm-hmm. You know, because you can't, it's like, there, it's true, cognitive dissonance is real. Yeah. You know, to where it's like, I just want what I want, what I want. So if you're going to, so if you get this, if you guys get these things passed to protect the girls, you have to look too, I think, is why are we even having this issue? You know, what's behind it? What's underneath of all this? And that's where people can't, they get out in the weeds too much, rather than look at, okay, so what's the consequence if we do shift this? Mm-hmm. You know, who's really the vulnerable demographic at this point? Mm-hmm. You know, because, I mean, honestly, and this is not my words, but from what I understand, the trans and the LGBTQ are the most protected class of citizens right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know how that's measured, you know, but, and again, it's like, I do feel for everyone who's suffering in the world. That's not even a question as a human. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. But you look at then, you know, what's the ramifications or the consequences if these things do get passed, and then you have young girls who then are in a very vulnerable place, which goes back to women, again, being attacked for all kinds of different reasons for generations on end. And it's interesting, like what you said, it's like if you take the stance of protecting women, then you're automatically labeled that you're against this. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, why can't you be for something without having to be against something else?
Exactly.
You know, which to me is the intention.
Yeah.
Right? So if my intention is to protect my girls, that's my driver. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm not doing anything to your kid, because should your son be playing in biological girl sports? In my opinion, no.
Right.
I mean, you have male sports. Mm-hmm. And especially as you get from the middle school to the high school to the collegiate, you know, to the pro right now. Yeah. That's a whole nother world. So where is the line then?
Yeah, exactly. And it's so funny. I was just at an event with Riley Gaines on Saturday.
Oh, awesome.
And so we know each other now and just have collaborated a little bit. She's being kind of connected with Independent Women's Network.
Yeah.
And great group of people. And so she's going around the country. And she spoke. It was so interesting, some of the points she said. She relayed this situation that happened when she was playing against, she was in competitive swimming all her life since she was seven or something. And was at the very, very top, you know, I don't know how many American, like all-American medals she'd gotten.
Right.
She got to the end where she really wanted to, you know, be number one. And it was between her and one other swimmer who they've known for years, because you know people in your sport if you're at that level.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden this mysterious person named Leah Thomas came up and beating everybody by two lengths, body lengths, which is unheard of. And both in the long distance and the sprint, you know, kind of stuff. Doesn't make sense. Long story short, they end up, you know, they have to compete with each other. They were forced to be sharing the same locker room. And nobody was supposed to talk about it. They had instructed all the women who were in this top level to be quiet, and that they would not complain. And they had to do sort of education classes about all of this.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, they're, you know, this 6'4" guy just strips down in front of them, fully all there. And these girls, she said, it's almost like an impulsive thing where you just start to cover yourself.
Because
in this space, you feel vulnerable. You hear this deep voice, and you're like, this is just not right.
Not supposed to be.
And I'd never thought of this before, but she said that whole situation, you know, you're asking, women will say, well, what am I, just because I'm for women, doesn't mean I'm against, but who's thinking about what's against girls?
Exactly.
Because what are we putting them through? This is what she said is classic, you know, really abusive behavior.
No, it is.
And
it is.
What, like, an abuser would do would be to hurt you and abuse you and then make you feel like it's your problem.
Exactly.
It's your fault.
Yeah.
You should be quiet about
ultimate
this.
Gaslighting.
And all of that, ultimately. And so we are messing with these women, and they don't realize that they are being manipulated these, and you're right, it's a lot of the emotional women who were trained in the whole feminist movement, which I want to talk about.
Yes, yes.
And how that got twisted upon themselves, mm-hmm. to the point where we are literally erasing ourselves.
Exactly. And we're doing it to ourselves. Nobody else has to help us. We're doing it.
It's masterful. Whatever this psychological
warfare
is,
yes,
it's insane. And and that's one of the reasons why we're involved in this, because we want a place in front where we can talk about this issue and get women to think about it rationally and compassionately, but also to defend, you know, everything that we fought for, that's just right. And anyway, so it's just, it's very interesting, this cultural moment. And I think it goes to, it's not just this gender dysphoria thing that's expanded.
No.
I listened to a pastor sermon, amazing sermon, but he went through this whole idea of sexuality and what God sees when mm-hmm. he's created us and how we are. And he said, we have sort of human dysphoria. Like, we hate our bodies.
Exactly.
It's we're all at war with our bodies.
Very insidious, too.
Very insidious. Yeah.
No, it is. And I see that.
Female.
It doesn't matter. I see that with a lot of young kids that I work with, too, whether it's guys or girls. It doesn't matter. And we never saw that before. You know, like generations past, you didn't. And I mean, I believe there's a biological effect to this too, with the feminization of our young men.
Yeah.
Through not just through the conversations, but through environmental toxins, whatever you want to talk about, however you want to go down that path. Mm-hmm. And that's another show we could do.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do. I believe because I mean, I always bring up just the thing to kind of evoke an image, right? So like, if you look at your parents' yearbook and the seniors, look like they were like 30 when they were 18, they look like they're 10. You know, and so there's like,
that's interesting. I never thought of that.
Which is basically a hormone changes again, but now it's in your food environment. You're not even aware that you're ingesting a lot of this, let alone now that you're going to put someone on them intentionally.
Wow.
You know, so when you look at that, you know, why, I don't know any young man that I went to school with. And I know that, you know, this is just my story, but I don't know any that would want to play on a girls' sports team.
No.
I really don't. I don't know anyone. I mean, if they were on the girls, they'd be like, I suck. I mean, I don't know any young man in prior generations that would have wanted so badly to play on a girls' sport, which makes you wonder the nefarious movement. Like, why all of a sudden did this person lead to, why did they all of a sudden show up?
Well, and there's some things that she mentioned in this talk that apparently she's followed, or people have followed Leah Thomas's, you know, Instagram and all of his stuff. And apparently he's a confessed Satanist is one thing, which I did not know that.
Yeah.
And he's also still been with, you know, women, but now he's with a man who became a woman, and now they say that they are both lesbians. It's so confusing.
which is the ultimate chaos, right?
Yes.
Whenever God creates, Satan counterfeits.
Yeah.
So it's the ultimate. I talked about a story the other day where there was a biological woman who had top surgery, who was pregnant, was with a biological man who was taking medication to lactate to feed their baby.
Oh my
gosh. So that's the ultimate confusion, right? You're confusing mankind and humanity. And so and that's what I'm saying. It's like, this may start out as a conversation of protecting our girls in high school, but we also have to have an eye on the nefarious part of it, how it's actually getting as far as it's gotten by way of really lying to women.
Yes.
Really lying to women, which goes back to the feminist part that you were talking about.
Right. It's lying to women, and then women lying to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's a hatred for our bodies and our, you know, and the design that we're created in. And you're right. It's this upside down. It really does come down to this just deep-seated psychological confusion and just hatred of ourselves.
It is. It's the same thing like with the body positive movement. Now we have obese women on sports magazines.
I know.
Which I'm like, again, you do you, but that's not a healthy thing to promote.
Exactly.
And women who were held to high standards were able to have specific types of positions for a reason. And as young, growing up as a young girl, you aspire to be healthy and to be all the, and that's why I'm saying it. But if you say something about it, then you're fat phobic. I'm like, no, I'm not fat phobic. I'm just realistic to say to you that this is not healthy.
Yeah.
You know, now if you want to do that, that's fine. But to be on the cover of it, and my whole thing is, I love, because I don't ever see obese men on men's health magazines.
No.
You never, which goes back to, again, why women are still under attack. Yeah. I mean, we are. So what did you dive into on the whole, like the feminist part? I know you said you were doing some research on that and like what you came up with.
Well, it just been, I was reading up on that and there's been some articles that I thought were fascinating about a lot of times women who had grown up, and there was one in the Free Press, which is Barry Weiss, who used to be a columnist for the New York Times, left. She's a woman on the left. She's a classic liberal. She's not a leftist.
Yeah.
And so she's open-minded and she shares a lot of really interesting articles. And she had this one woman who just came out with a book, and I can't remember the name of it, but I've seen this woman's write-up in different things, but she's a British journalist who talked about, you know, I thought freedom was in feminism.
Right.
And then she realized it was not.
Exactly.
And it was all this, and so she went through this journey where she kind of went all over the place and then finally ended up finding herself after she had a baby.
Yes.
And she realized, wow, I know how amazingly powerful I am as a woman, a mother. And I realized that the freedom that I was seeking all that time wasn't the answer. It was actually, I have less freedom in some ways because I can't just leave and take off and let my child cry all night.
Right, right, right.
But yet that loss of lack of freedom in that area is actually giving
me
power. That's
exactly.
More power. It's all that. So she was equating freedom with feminism, and it really isn't. It's it's so much more beyond that. The other thing that I found was this meme that somebody sent, and I thought it was so brilliant. And it was the four stages or the four waves of feminism. And the first one was, let's see, can I show you?
Yes, and then we'll post it.
Yes, because it is so classic that I had to kind of like take a picture and then just, you know, that's, I think it just says everything. And I was just on a panel about feminism and at this event with Kevin Jackson and it was all like on wokeism.
Yeah.
And so I got to find this right now. Oh, here it is. Okay. So I don't know if I should try to show it to your camera.
Yeah, and then we'll.
Maybe not.
There you go. No, there you go.
But
and then we'll post
yes.
it.
Yes. So the first wave of feminism is the woman, Rosie the Riveter, with her arm. And it says, we want to be equal to men. Okay.
Okay.
Second wave of feminism, it looks like it might be. It's not Gloria Steinem, but she basically, I think it might be Jane Pauley young or someone. And it says, we don't need men. So it's first wave, we want to be equal to men. The second wave, we don't need men. The third wave is,
Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, we are men. So yeah, we are men now. We don't need men. We are men. And the fourth wave is, of course, Leah Thomas. We are women.
Oh my
Isn't
gosh.
That interesting. It's like, yeah.
You got to send me that.
That's
crazy.
Where are we? We have literally erased ourselves.
Great statement. We have.
Where's women anymore? Because we became, we're now men. We are equal to men. It's, first of all of it is not, it's not possible.
No.
We're fooling ourselves.
No. But, well, because equal means same, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and there's no way.
There we're not. And we shouldn't be because, well, then where's women then? Who's going to get the benefit of what a woman is?
Yeah.
We're losing all the benefits of womanhood.
Which what's so funny, Kim? I find myself in this spot all the time. That to me seems so logical.
Yeah.
So like, how do you get to that, you know, kind of like the reprobate mind to where you're like, no, this is upside. This is right. And I'm like, no, oh my God, how do we get there?
Yeah.
How far?
Slowly.
I mean, what is it? Three generations? Is that right?
Of where you can just.
But isn't that, I mean, if you think
back. Yeah, you're right. How many generations?
So it would be like three generations.
Yeah, probably.
Because they say that they can change cultural society by way of 2 to 3 generations.
Yeah.
And then you can change it in a generation and a half if you have technology.
Oh.
Which is kind of, which goes back to, what is it, destabilization, dehumanization, desensitization, and then demoralization. That's like the four steps of what that is.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you think about that, that's really where you've got women now fighting for men to be women.
Yes.
Which when you say that out loud, you're like, how is that even possible?
Right.
You know, and it's got nothing to do with human rights. It's got nothing to do with any of those rights, because a trans person has the same rights I do, as far as I know.
Right.
You know, I mean, but and maybe there might be something caveat there that I'm not sure of, but I don't know. And if somebody does know, let me know. But you do. You start to realize that you are a strong woman now, actively promoting a man to be a woman.
Yes.
And to participate in the delusion.
Yes, that's the part. And that's why obviously we come back to this again and again. We're not being calloused or uncaring. We understand that there are people with different situations going on in their life. And by the way, most people who are claiming to be trans have had a significant history of trauma or issues that have created this scenario.
I've always wanted to see statistics on that.
I know.
I would love to.
I think there are. I know there are.
Yeah.
And we're working on that as well.
Good.
Actually, we're doing our next big summit is in February, and we're going to have Chloe Cole speak, who's a very outspoken detransitioner, and what she went through and how she was pushed through in that process, and really her parents were pushed as well. And we're going to have some people who are, you know, medical doctors.
The parents are coerced into, would you rather have a dead son or a live daughter?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what they exactly told me.
Which is fear.
And it's totally fear. And so what happens is that we have been kind of pushed along and nudged, you know, culturally to believe these things. And then we forget, we stop thinking rationally and say, well, what is it about me? What is my identity?
Right.
And I think that comes to this, the core of really everything. Every question.
Yeah.
What's my identity? Why am I here? And what are the great things about me? And also, I'm not this just what I wear,
no.
My skin. I'm not my skin. I'm not my genitalia. I'm so
it's
much more.
It's the essence of a woman that I think that people have lost when people say, what is it? And I know I've seen these in debates, like, define what a woman is. What's a female human? You know, I mean, if we're just going to say that. But then it goes back to, it's like they're taking the masculinized trans woman and basically putting makeup and hair and, you know, clothing and say, now you are.
Right.
Which that, to me, is just dress up.
Yeah,
which goes back to drag queens, which has been around forever and ever and ever, but they haven't been in front of 5-year-olds.
It's part of the whole
conversation.
Kind of, and the push. You know, you got to desensitize them early on to where sex doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Well, and then, but yet, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I believe that we were created male and female, and that there was a reason that God wanted to have us different so that we would complement each other.
Exactly.
And so, and obviously there's not a stereotypical, there are some stereotypes, but it doesn't mean that you have to you know, super girly to be a woman, you know.
No.
And there are many strong women and strong men who just, you know, may have a little bit of
traits. I mean,
traits.
it's like you look at men, and a lot of men in fashion, they have a different sense of style. They have a different fashion. Somebody else that's a logger isn't going to care what they're wearing, right?
Right.
So, which that to me is that more personality traits, character traits. I think it all comes into play.
Oh, totally.
You know, and I think the biggest thing though about the conversation today is just the mass confusion.
Yeah.
You know, I think social media plays a big part in that. And I think that misinformation for people, when you've got young kids, that they actually believe that men can now have babies.
Yes.
You know, you look at a young, they actually do believe that now.
Oh, I know. And I just wonder what's going to happen after. I pray that this goes through its course to where we look back and we go, what happened to that
generation?
What
did we do?
How did we do this to ourselves? Because even you think about these babies now being chest fed through some hormonal thing that this male
secretion
person is taking. How unhealthy is that?
Yeah.
Why is it we were so obsessed with, I won't even drink a glass of wine while I'm pregnant. And now, but we'll just give them this concoction.
We don't even know what it is.
I don't even know what it's going to
do. Well, that's the thing. It's all experimentation.
Yeah.
I had Matt Ray on the podcast, I think like a year ago, and we talked about this. And what got me with him, because he was born a woman, transitioned to a man, and now
he's
I just adore them, and really, really cool guy. Anyway, he's questioning everything and going through all this stuff. He's paying heavily, dearly with his price, with his health, heavy price. But we talked about that, and he said, this is what got me. This is our generation's lobotomy.
Oh, Yep.
To where we're going to look back and go, what the heck were we doing?
Yeah.
You know, and there's so many young people who are paying such a heavy price because we have a point of reference of some sort of normalcy as far as like, yeah, this is not it. Some kids don't have that. And then you have a digital world to where everything now is completely altered. Yeah. And it really is the ultimate psychological warfare.
It really is. It is. And there's so much censorship, too. So they even if they are on social media, it's unlikely that they're going to
find anything truthful.
Anything that's truthful. I'm not a conspiracy theorist type of person.
Yeah.
But the longer I've been my eyes open, the more I see things that just don't make sense otherwise.
That
unless there was some type of, you know, whether it's a accidental social, you know, trend that got everybody thinking this way, or if there were some people saying, no, there's a power struggle here, we're going to take advantage of this disruption.
Oh, it's by design.
I think it's more towards the design aspect.
It's kind of like you look at Riley Gaines. Where did this person come from? I mean, that wasn't just someone that went up the ranks and all of a sudden.
Right.
And that's where I see it's like you see the characters that play out that are pushing this movement, they're not there by accident.
They weren't some innocent person that just woke up and went, oh, I just have always been. I mean, because he was competing like just a few months before that as a man and was mediocre.
Right.
But you're right. And people have been used in all of this.
That's the sad thing. Whether you are against it or for it, either way, you're still a pawn in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at even the Dylan Mulvaney and all that kind of stuff and what people, it doesn't matter because you're still being used to push a narrative.
Right.
Because if it was any differently, then you would see the people like Chloe that are speaking out against it and are literally a detransitioner. They would be equally given the time to speak and she's vilified.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you know that there is an intention behind it.
Looking back at four waves that we were talking about, right? So it's like, so which one, just in your studies and what you were looking at, which one do you think was the real pivot that really kind of lied to a lot of girls or women?
You know, that's an interesting question. It would be, I would think, because that's hard to say. There's untruth in all of it. We want to be equal to men was the first one. And I think there was reasons why, there was legitimate reasons that we needed the right to vote, of course.
Yeah.
We needed the right to be able to succeed in business. But then that was twisted to say, women aren't making as much money as men, which is a lie. It depends on how many hours a week the person wants, and the industry and how much they're choosing to work.
I would
work
say
and
women hairdressers probably make more than males.
More hairdressers. But yeah, and then so the equality part was probably fine. Then we don't need men is a lie.
That was a big one
because then we were taught, you know, remember back Murphy Brown, show.
Yep.
She decided to have a child alone.
And
then it became this political thing that, you know, I think whoever was president, was it George Bush Senior, whatever, said something about that. Isn't that funny?
Isn't it funny how all the movies and all, the predictive programming, right?
I even
remember an interview with Cher where I think it was Barbara Walters was saying something about don't you like men? And she goes, I think men are really cool. I think men are cool, but I think they're fun, you know, but I just don't need one right now. And she goes, well, my mom told me that you should marry a rich man. And she goes, Cher says, Mom, I am a rich man. I'm like, no, you're not. You're a successful woman.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Why do you want to be
Why?
A man?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. And that's, I remember when I first started working professionally and I got out of college, and that was the part, probably the third wave is we are men is but how do you beat we are women? But, I mean, that's so bad. But the we
Pick
are
your
men,
poison.
I know, they're all bad, and they're all a different facet of the lie that you are not valuable, really,
as
saying
women.
That women, you're not valuable, you're replaceable, you're interchangeable.
Yep.
There is no essence of being a woman is what they're trying to tell us.
Yeah.
And there's no inherent strengths to that. And it's all a big fat lie. But I remember, you know, picking my first suit for interviews and stuff, and I had to look like it had to look like a man's suit.
Isn't that
in
crazy?
A sense, you know, and it had to be a serious color and all this. But, you know, and that was kind of, we were trying to fit into a man's world, which at that point, it kind of had been traditionally seen that way, which, of course, you have to play the game a little bit to get in, and then and which we did change.
Well,
a
and
lot
you
of
also
things.
I think you also have to look at it. You know, back in the 50s and 60s, women were more in the home raising their kids.
Right.
You know, I mean, that was by design of whether you agree or disagree, it is a divine order.
Right.
You know, and then whenever women and I think part of that actually comes back to, what is it, Rockefeller that decided he wanted women to pay taxes more, so they actually funded the original feminist movement. Because he wanted women out. Now you got two to pay taxes, and now you got their kids going to a government-ran school. So that that's a whole nother, that's why I said, like, what's the nefarious driver part of it? And nobody wants to go there because, like you say, it's a conspiracy. But when we have enough of a long view right now that I think we can go back and go, wait a minute, you know, how did we actually get here to where you now have men saying that they are women?
Exactly.
And completely erasing the fact that, no, we are the givers of life.
Yes.
And that's never going to change.
They can't steal our spaces. Like, that is our space.
Right.
And we have to own it. We have to stand up and be women, put on our big girl panties and be women and own it and cherish that. And it doesn't mean you're anti-men.
No.
People say that to me, like, oh, are you Arizona Women of Action? Are you anti-men? No, we love men.
Exactly.
We
need
to be men.
Exactly.
We need men and we need women to both be strong and to be individuals. You're not just a woman. That's what the left does. They love to put us all into a category. You're in this box. You're a woman, so you have to think this way. You're a man, you have to think this way. You're black or white or, you know, gay, whatever it is. And they want to make us into tokens.
Right.
We lose our individuality. So I am a human being. I am an individual who happens to be a woman. And there's great, I have great strengths from that.
Right.
I have great strengths from, I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. I'm half Swedish. I'm, you know, so all these different things that are just a part of me. And then, but yet the left wants us to not look at people as all of the intricacies and the beautiful things about their story.
Right.
They just want us to go, oh, you're this.
Yeah.
And so, and that's where we have to wake people up. And
you have to. And I think you also have to hear some really hard truths too, because even the best mom is not going to be a father.
Right.
And the best father will never be a good mother.
Yeah.
You can jump into that space if you have to, if there was something that went the way that it wasn't supposed to go.
Sure.
You absolutely can. But there is a glitch whenever something doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And typically then, like right now, our collateral damage are our young people.
Yeah.
I mean, our children, our young people, our younger generations. I mean, I do believe, too, though, that if you look at this playing out on social media, the other side is very, very, very loud.
Yeah,
you know, but I know that I work with and I see a whole different demographic of Gen Z that are like, this is just insanity.
Yeah.
And they know it. But unfortunately, they're on the college campuses. They're in the schools. They're inundated with this. But they're getting to a place to where they're tired of it, too, because they know that this is all by design.
Right.
You know, and when you realize you've been quote, it's like the kids that are smoking weed right now. I laugh. I go, why do you think it's legalized? You know, they know exactly what they're doing. They're taking our brilliant and brightest minds and altering it, no matter what you think. I said, so if you're, if that used to be like, you know, like screw the man, screw the system, y'all are participating in it, you know? So it's
crazy. They are the man now.
Exactly.
I
but that's why I think it's interesting when you have the conversation of, you know, having like a passion for something or a purpose for something that you know that you, like it's been given to you. We talked about that before. Before we got on air, actually, to where it's like, okay, how do you know this is yours?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you know that whenever you kind of, and what would this be for you? So, like, if you feel like you're taking this on, you know, whenever things get rough or you're up against these systems or things that, you know, what keeps you going? Like, what is it that you feel like you want to accomplish with this?
Well, in general, the
Women of Action, you know, like speaking out against this, the whole thing with the feminist part, which we talked about, which we're going to continue to talk about that. I want to do a couple more segments on that, because that to me is what's really underplaying our young women, because they've been lied to at so many different things. But when you kind of get to a place to where you're spread all across these different platforms and these different things, like what is it for you that you go back to and go, this is my why?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I would say, and I wrestle with God about that too, because how on earth did I get put into this? Why did you choose me? And I think on a very personal level, I want women to have a voice. I want women to have the space to understand the truth and to have the freedom to know God and to know His design for them.
Mm-hmm.
And to really, it's freedom. It does come down to freedom.
Yes.
Because, you know, even Jesus said, it's for freedom that I have set you free.
Right.
You know, he wants, that is the goal. It's the means and the goal.
Right.
So having freedom is where we're allowed to be intrinsically the way we were designed to be. And right. that's the way we have the most movement through life. We have the most, you know, opportunities. It's, we experience the most beauty
right.
in life when we're free to be, to understand and have, you know, the truth, because so much of what we're seeing now is there's suppression of truth in
right.
so many areas.
Right.
There's
right.
no, and that's even, you know, I think it's in Proverbs where it says, you know, truth has fallen in the streets.
Yeah.
And that's like, wow, you know, and what does that do to a society, a culture, a world when truth is no longer
right.
regarded? And so freedom and truth are really connected. And it doesn't mean that you don't have responsibilities. I mean, freedom, you have to have constraints and there have to be boundaries in order to have freedom.
Right.
To, you know, Dennis Prager is someone I follow a lot. And he uses the example of someone who wants to play beautiful music and they want to have the freedom to be a concert violinist.
Right.
Well, they're going to have to limit their freedom during all the time they want to practice
exactly.
and hone that.
It's discipline.
It's discipline. And then, but then in the end, they have this freedom to
perform.
Create and like, yep. yeah. And so that's what I want. Personally, I want more women and men. I want everyone to be able to experience the truth. And
yeah.
so that's kind of where I've always kind of striven towards. And I've been involved with apologetics, Christian apologetics, helping people understand why they believe what they
right,
believe.
Right.
What does all this mean? How can I explain it and all of that?
Yeah, finding being able to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's communication. And so this now this area sort of stepping into the sort of political, cultural world on issues like life and trafficking and education. What does it mean to educate children? How do you, you know, creating a better world where our three main goals are strong families, safe cities, and thriving kids,
yes.
which we think defines the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the dream of, it's never been a country like that.
No.
Where the people are the ones who are supposed to be in charge.
Exactly.
And we elect our representatives and they're accountable to us, but we forgot to hold them accountable.
That's the key right
you
there.
Know,
we,
yeah.
we were too worried about our lattes.
Exactly. And our busy lives and our, you know, yep. getting the kids to school and all those are really important. But if we take our eye off of citizenship and our
right.
and our goals in that or what a healthy society looks like and healthy citizens,
right.
that should be a part of our list of a to-do list every week. What do I need to do as a citizen? Mm-hmm. And that's why we're also starting we just became a 501c3 organization. We have Women for Families and Freedom because so much of what we do really is informational and
right.
public service type of things, you
right.
know, helping people understand the issues. And
right.
so that's where a lot of what we're doing is going to probably come from. And one of our big initiatives is going to be a Women of Faith outreach because so many women in churches feel like there's this barrier where they can't, you know, anything outside the church or just the obvious, maybe the pro-life communities or things where you're helping,
right.
You know, a service project, all of that, the rest of it is politics. No, no, it's not political. It's biblical.
Right.
We are called to enter mm-hmm. into the world and to love and intercede for our neighborhood, our communities.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be taking those values that are so dear to us, that are true, based in truth and love and mm-hmm. grace, and take those into the world. And so what does that look like? And
yeah.
how do we do that biblically?
Well,
so
and don't you think that the highest form of loving someone is telling them the truth?
Yes, yes.
And that's, I always tell people, I can't have a conversation with someone who denies the truth. Just as a starting point.
Right.
Just as a starting point. I mean, yeah. we're going to differ and we're going to have, you know, great dialogue. That's what this is about. But just from the starting point, can you get to a place that there is only men and women? Can we start
yes,
there? Can we
yes,
just start there?
Exactly.
If we can just start there, we can at least get, that's our jumping off point.
Right,
right.
Right.
But
exactly.
that's why I think we it's been so skewed by way of, by design through chaos.
Yeah.
That you can't get someone, and then I love when people say, well, yeah, but that's not my truth. I'm like, this isn't about mine or yours. This is about a divine order of truth that this is, and then you go back to that whole deep conversation, which is an ideology of beliefs.
Yeah.
And I think that's what when you talk to somebody, I think you have to, like we talked about earlier about communication, right? It's like you have to kind of understand the belief system and the
yeah.
bias
yeah.
of the person that you're speaking to in order to be effective.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're right. You have to come up with those. What are those ground rules that we
exactly.
all let's establish how you see the world and how I see the
100%.
World. 100%.
Yeah. If you don't do that intentionally, and that's where, like, when you said, like, can you have a conversation of being humble and listening? Can I learn from you? I'm all about listening and talking and having these conversations. I love that. But it's like in the situation with Riley Gaines, it's like, so she is a biological female playing on a sport team. A biological male now wants to play on there. That's the truth fact. That's not debatable. You know, that's so let's start there. So if we can agree.
Can we agree there?
Can we agree there? Because a lot of times you can't even do that. You can't even agree with that. It's like, but then how do we actually get a solution if we can't even agree with that, with just that one fact?
Exactly.
And that's where I think we're literally in this chasing tail with so many people, because they don't, it's like when you look at the school systems, right? I know you guys did a lot in the school systems and working like with Amy Carney and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, so can we agree that these things are happening in our school systems?
Yeah.
Can we just agree that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, have you walked through a school's library lately? Have you seen what is going on? Can we agree there?
Yeah.
And that to me is our biggest task is can we at least get to a place to where we can start with some sort of facts?
Yeah.
You know, exactly. and then move forward. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise I don't think, you know, I mean, what was the outcome of Riley's talk? Like, what was it like when she spoke about that, what she experienced with Leah Thomas?
Well, you know, I mean, she basically went through that. She's gotten, I mean, the NCAA tried to put pressure on them. She finally spoke out, and that was part of her main point, was how long it took her to stand up for herself. She kept thinking, somebody's going to stand up for us, a dad, a coach.
No.
Nobody was. And she finally went, you know, if we're not willing to stand up for ourselves, why should we expect anybody else to?
Yep.
And it's so sad. And I always, you know, want to ask, where are the men? Come on, guys, you know, stand up for these women. But yet they're vilified if they do. So, but she's now, she is courageously speaking. She gets spit on. She gets thrown stuff at.
I've seen some stuff.
All of this horrible stuff. I mean, she was beaten. They you know, at San Francisco.
It got physical.
Yeah, it did. And they held her hostage in a room for like 4 hours. She missed her flight. They told her, finally, they were demanding money to let her go. You know, this is crazy.
Yeah.
These people are thugs. They're just terrorists. That really is the true meaning of a terrorist.
It is. And, well, she was put in harm's way. But I also think the other thing too, Kim, I also think by her saying, where's the men? I think she's the only one that could actually tell that story to that degree. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, she's living it. It's literally what she's worked for her entire life,
right,
watching it being taken away. So I think she's the best, you know, she's the best commentator for that story.
Yeah.
But I do think that if more men stood up and pushed back against this and understood that that's kind of their role as protectors and providers of women and children,
right,
you know, I think if you had that conversation with people, that is their role, because it hits different. It hits different when you've got a strong man standing up and going, this is not going to be tolerated.
Right.
Versus women saying something about what they perceive as their just kind of the emotional part of it.
Exactly. Well, and I think it starts with the people who are most affected, the dads. A dad of a daughter has every right to stand up for his daughter.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, that's the thing, is just there. And even, you know, I was thinking about the man who got up at a school board meeting recently, and it kind of went viral. And he showed up, and there was I think it was in the Higley district, where there was a dress code policy, and they were trying to allow for just all this, like, it could be practically a little tube top and whatever. And it's like, come on, you know, in high school, you got these things. This is distracting to both sides, you know. Let's just and so then this dad just showed up, and he stripped down as he was talking at this thing, and he had on this tube top, a little like a strap, like a bra. And he said, now, if I were at the school, I would be able to wear this, you know. And he made this great point. He ended up on The View, I heard, which I thought was hilarious. And of course, they just tried to shoot him down.
Yeah, but we don't like The View.
I know. I know.
But you know what, though? That's how crazy it's going
to
get.
That's how you have to stand up. And so there's a dad who stood up.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to make the point. And we have to get behind them. And that's the thing I would want to say to your viewers, that, you know, we all have to, we have a stake in this, and our kids and our grandkids have a stake in this. And so we have to stand up and bring these things out to the front, talk to people about it, tell them, ask questions, just by asking them, do you think this?
Then right.
It gets them
open
to
conversation.
Kind of process. Right.
Yeah.
And then show up at your school board, write emails. Like on this bathroom policy, we're trying to get on social media right now, telling people, please email your Scottsdale Unified School Board and ask them, please institute this common sense bathroom policy.
Well, I like the common sense
part. It's just common sense. And it just creates a system where parents have to sign on it, but any child, no matter who they are, they don't have to go and get an IEP or is it individual education plan? That's what that stands for.
Yeah.
Or a 501 or 504. I can't remember the name of it, but it's like for if you have a diagnosis that
a special need thing
that creates the need. But then this would be for anybody who's, you know, maybe there's somebody who had trauma or so forth or things like that. They can apply for an accommodation as long as it's reasonable and it doesn't create undue hardship for everybody.
Yeah.
Then they could use the single bathroom and whatever.
Right,
so that
right.
way there's a policy. It's just common sense. But why are the board members who are leftists against this?
Mm-hmm.
Why would they be that? Because
great question.
Yeah, and they have not been able to answer that so far. So and we know why.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's where the culture, our society is today, is that you know we all have the common sense, mm-hmm. but yet these people are in positions to where they get to decide whether we can use our common sense or not by way of the laws.
Well, and they just want to turn it and say, it's because you don't like trans people. It's
yeah.
like, wait, how did this have anything? It's not even, there's not a word trans in the policy. There's nothing about that. Why are you going there? Because
that's the agenda
thing that they can do is vilify. They have no facts. They have and they know that this would just create guardrails. They don't like guardrails.
Isn't it crazy?
They don't like rational.
No. It's crazy.
They want everything to be chaos. And these kids are growing up in a world where we've just ripped the floor right out from underneath them.
Yeah, there's no stability and foundation. I think that's the hardest part. So as far as Arizona Women of Action, what do you see like for like your big mission? And then we'll let people know how to grab a hold of you.
Yeah. Well, our mission, again, is to really empower women to take a stand for their families and communities against the destruction that's facing them and to help play a bigger part in strong families, safe cities, and thriving kids. That's our goal.
Yeah.
And the great thing about it is you can do it on your schedule, whether you have 5 minutes or 5 hours. We send out an email once a week that kind of defines what we're seeing.
Well, newsletter is jam-packed, by the way.
I know, and we've shortened it. It used to be we'd have seven different
items.
Now we thought, people are saying, I can't.
I'm overwhelmed.
I'm already overwhelmed. But then they can click on more action. They go to our website, and there's some more things they can do. And we always list events and other, because we don't want to reinvent the wheel. There's a lot of great groups in Arizona that I didn't even know about. We have an amazing woman who's now going to head our Stop Trafficking team. She is herself a victim of trafficking when she was in high school and has written a book. We had her blog. We always have a blog in the intro. And she's connected. She was telling me about all these other organizations that help victims of trafficking or help. She even has she's a doula for births of these women who come in and they've gotten
pregnant
through the trafficking. And she helps them to coach them through going ahead and having their baby. I never even thought about that issue.
No, there's so much.
Just the ways that she is entering into the healing of these women, finding themselves again.
That's amazing.
That's, again, it's like we're helping women find freedom and strength, really.
Yeah.
And so, along with men, we have a lot of men get our emails as well.
Yeah.
And so
it goes back to family.
It is so true. Strong families, the family unit is under attack.
Yes.
And we're trying to stop that and stand up for it and help people to have the information they need, the courage they need, the words that are important to know and how they can easily just step into civic involvement, you know. And so we want more people to sign up and get our email. We want people to follow us on social media, and it's at AZ Women of Action.
Okay.
Is our handle. And we also have one called at AZ Woke Schools.
Okay.
And that's on Instagram and Twitter or X. And that's for exposing what you're seeing at your school.
Yeah.
You know, if there's bad wokeness stuff going on, what
need
policies, libraries, what curricula is coming home. There's a lot of crazy curricula that sounds really nice, like the community schools and, you know, the medical, school-based medical centers. Oh, that sounds so convenient. And No, it's separating parent involvement from their kids. Yes. And it's
taking the rights away from the parents.
Giving all these counselors who are not even certified and coming in and
I don't care how many certifications you got. It's my daughter.
Or even, even if you have I don't care. There are plenty of PhD level psychiatrists who I would never trust to spend 5 minutes with
exactly,
my kid.
Exactly, exactly.
So, you know, parents
that
need to
That sounds like
be...
something I would have said, Kim. No, it's so true. It's so good.
It's true. So good.
It is.
So we're equipping women, and we just need more people. We need people to donate. We always need funding, as you know, everybody needs. But we have got an amazing mission. We call it our bold mission to reclaim reality.
That would be a great one.
That is. That's going to be our summit in February. It's called the Back to Reality Summit.
Nice.
So, you know, that's what we all need. It's back to the truth, you know.
It is. All right. Yeah. So, hey, guys, first of all, Kim, thank you so much. Everything that Kim talked about, I will make sure all the links are in here so you guys can grab those and click on there. If you can attend anything, sign up for the newsletter, follow them on social media. If you want to donate anything, all this stuff is actually going to build your communities and your families. And so thank you so much. And as always, guys, please like and subscribe and share this. Thank you for listening to this episode of the TLM Nation podcast. I hope you've learned something new and useful. I hope you're willing to ask questions and to seek truth. And be bold in that. Please subscribe, drop us 5 stars and a great review, and we'll see you next time.